Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see everyone here today. On the last chapter. How many chapters are in 2 Timothy? Four chapters, and we're chapter 4. And today we are going to think about some of the people that are in chapter 4. They're going to be examples for us. Every person we look at will be a good example or a bad example. So, eight workers. And your job, you have a job. You say, who am I like? What worker is most like you? And then pick an example to follow. This is an easy lesson, isn't it? We just look at eight people. Each person is an example. Pick one that you would like to follow. And one more assignment. Pick one you don't want to be like. Pick an example to avoid. Pick an example to avoid. Before we think about working, I have a question. Can you work to earn eternal life? I will answer that question for us. No. Who is the only person who can work to give eternal life? Now, I hope is the name Jesus in your thinking here. Only Jesus did the work that earns eternal life. Because the work to get salvation requires a payment for sin. So this is not a work I could do. And that is why the Lord Jesus went to the cross. And he made the payment of death. But part two is he defeated death and came to life. So this is Jesus' work. So let Jesus do the work that Jesus does. And that is pay for your sin and then offer you the gift of eternal life. Our job, because that's a gift, is just take the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Sometimes we say, receive the gift of eternal life. And that is not a church ceremony. It's not something I can do to you. No person can give you eternal life except only the Lord Jesus. So that's a work, right? That is a work that I can't do, but it's still work. It was done on the cross to pay for a gift. Have you received the gift? God always gives people work, though. Think about this for a minute. What did Adam do before sin came in the world? What did Adam do before sin came in the world? Yeah. Well, that's when sin came. What about before?
Before the war with peace.
Yeah. God told him, you're to cultivate the tree in the garden and fruits in the garden. He gave him a work to do, right? Adam had a work. His work was to work the garden and bring fruit. His job was to rule everything on earth. He had two jobs, but he had a work. And he had this work before sin came into the world. So it didn't do anything for sin. It was just that God created us to work. And if you don't work, you're unhappy. You have to have some kind of work to be happy. So before sin, there was work. Jesus did a work I can't do. Now, if you have eternal life, God gives you life with work in it. God gives you life with work in it. And instead of working to be saved, I work for reward. I work for reward. And I work simply to say thank you to the Lord Jesus for the gift. My work is a thank you. So this is what we're going to think about today. What kind of worker are you? We're talking about working after you trust Jesus as Savior. And don't forget to pick the examples. Here's everything. Let's read through the passage together from verse 6 to the end of the chapter. I'll try not to talk about it as we go through, but I will fail. This is chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul is speaking, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." What does he mean, his departure? What is Paul? When Paul says, "The time of my departure," what point is Paul in his life here? Yeah, he's not leaving Ephesus or he's not leaving Rome. He's leaving life. He's dying. Paul is about to die. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." So that's a reward, right? Paul's working for a reward, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So just kind of by way of review and to help us out here, Paul is going to stand before the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus is going to judge Paul's works for reward. It's not a judgment where Paul will either go to heaven or he'll go to hell. That decision is made when Paul received Jesus as Savior. And not only to me, but also who all who have loved his appearing. So obviously Paul, this is a review, we've read this verse before, but Paul's going to be example number one. Well, everyone's going to say, "I want to be like Paul." Okay, so you could maybe pick more than one example. So of the eight ones, everybody wants to be like Paul. So that's one example. A few more examples in what Paul wrote, verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. Paul tells Timothy, "Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas," and he's going to be one of our example people, will you think he'll be an example to avoid, or he'll be an example to follow? "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus," who will be another one of our example people, "he has gone to Dalmatia." Only Luke, another example, is with me. Pick up Mark. This is John Mark. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus. So a few more examples. We'll talk about each one. When you come, Timothy, when you come, bring the cloak. That's a jacket, right? Bring my jacket, which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander, he's an example too. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. That he strongly opposed the teaching. Now verse 16, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. So Paul was going to court and he was about to be executed. So he's not going to win his case on earth. He's going to win his case in heaven. He's going to be promoted to see the Lord Jesus. But at his first defense, nobody supported him. Everybody deserted him. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation, that's the announcement of the good news, the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. That's a figure of speech there, isn't it? He was saved from death that time. Now he won't be saved from death. But he will be delivered. He'll be delivered to see the Lord Jesus. And that's what he says here. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Does Paul care if he lives or dies? Here's what Paul says in Philippians. If you know it, you can say it with me. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So a lot of the young adults know that. Let's try that again. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's Paul's view of life. If he's living in this body on earth, he's happy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's work, it's reward, it's fulfilling, it's joy. But to leave this life and see the Lord Jesus is gain. Because what's the goal of your work? If we talk about all these eight workers, what should be the goal of our work? The goal of our work is to see the Lord Jesus. Imagine looking at his hands that were pierced for you. And they're the only body in heaven that still has scars is the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus. And you can see the scars in his hands that he paid for your sins. And then any reward that I get, I take my crown, if it's a crown, and I put it at the feet of the Lord Jesus as a thank you. So now you can see why to die, Paul says to die is gain, because this is the goal of his work. Is to see the Lord Jesus in glory in heaven. And to give the Lord Jesus all the thanks for what he's done. And so he says, he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. And to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that amen wasn't the amen. Here's the last verses in the book. Greet Prisca and Aquila. Oh, they're examples. They are a married couple. They're an example of a married couple. And the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. So well, Trophimus is an example for us. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you. Also Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Well, as we look at all these workers, we say, what worker am I like? So let's go back to the very beginning up here, if we might. Paul the finisher. Let's put Paul down. Number one, Paul. And here's what I want to say about Paul. Paul's a finisher, isn't he? What a great example. He's a finisher. And I think he is a great example. He's not only at the end of his life, but he's happy with what he's done. And he's happy with what he's done because he finished what God gave him to do. His course, he's looking at life as if it's a race. And you go around the racetrack so many times. He's gone around the racetrack all the times that he has to go. And in finishing the race, he kept the faith. And that's the second thing about Paul. Paul's the finisher. Everyone finishes life. You're going to finish life. But Paul finished running. And he also finished faithfully. So what God gave him to give to you, the gospel and all the teachings in this book, Paul wrote 13 books, and he stayed faithful to those things. Well, I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Paul. That is my number one example. I not only want to finish, but he's the faithful finisher. That should actually be... Paul's the faithful finisher. I want to be like Paul. And there, hopefully, when you reach the end of your life, if Jesus is your Savior, you can say that. And what a great goal. Because Paul says this is available for everyone. I think of Paul as a superman, super saint, right? And he was very smart. But he says, not only to me. And I think that's important to put in yellow, don't you? Because if Paul's saying this is not only for me, who's God pointing the finger at here who can do it or have this same reward? He's saying for all those who have loved his appearing, for everyone who's looking forward to seeing the Lord Jesus, getting the reward for the work you've done, and you've done it, he says this crown, this reward is for everyone. And so you can be a finisher and you can be faithful. This has got to be, there's an example to follow right there. So, are you being like Paul? That's a good question. Now, we have the next person we're going to meet here. What's his name? Who's going to be next? Starts with a D. Oops. D-E-M-U-S? Oh, yes, sorry. Demas? Paul's the finisher. What are we going to call Demas? Would you pick a word that starts with D and I'll be really happy. Demas, the deserter. Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. All right? So Demas is the deserter. Of course, deserter is someone who just left, ran away. He ran away, right? How many want to follow Demas? Not too many hands in the air. So, great example to avoid. In what we've read so far, Paul said when he went to his first trial, let's see if I can find it here. Demas' problem was he deserted, right? But he also said other people deserted him. At my first defense, no one supported me, but how many people deserted him? How many people ran away from Paul? Everybody ran away from Paul. Do you know any other deserters in the Bible? New Testament. We've got Peter, right? Yeah, all the disciples ran away from the Lord Jesus at the cross. So every disciple had deserted the Lord Jesus. Peter not only deserted, but he denied the Lord Jesus. This young man, Mark, deserted Paul on the first missionary trip that Paul took. When we look at this, Demas is the deserter, but Christianity is filled with people who have run away. We'll meet Mark in a minute. He ran away, but he came back. What about Peter? Peter ran away, but he came back. What about all the other disciples? They ran away, but they came back. Demas didn't come back. And he even tells us why. Demas is called in the Bible a fellow worker with Paul at the beginning of his work. In fact, he's called one of the few workers from among the Jewish people who is working with Paul. So he started well, but why did he desert and stay deserted at the end? He deserted having loved this present world. Some workers start working for the Lord Jesus, but there's so much to like in the world. There's so many attractive things that win our heart. The Lord Jesus wants my heart. And the world, and that's not the birds and bees and flowers and trees, that's the whole way that humans are organized on earth. It's organized to draw your heart from Christ. The world is organized so everything looks attractive. And everything looks like it should have your heart. But with the Lord Jesus, it's like marriage. You have one love. You have one wife. Or if you're a wife, you have one husband. Your heart is for one person. And it's the same with God. Your heart is for one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So am I like Demas? I've started well, but something else is drawing my heart away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We put money there because maybe it's money. Money draws people away from the Lord Jesus. Some people fall in love with money. Some people fall in love with education. Some people fall in love with anything, absolutely anything. The Apostle John tells us in his first letter, he says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So he said, don't love the world. If you love the world, the Father's love is not in you. And then he identifies three areas where a person would love the world more than the Lord Jesus. He says, the lust of the flesh, that's all my appetites. I mean, some people love sex more than anything else. So they enter into it before marriage. They live for it. They won't receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior because they just want to live to satisfy that appetite. So that's part of the lust of the flesh. It's all other kinds of appetites. I have a lust for money, and that's an appetite. So John says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and that means whatever I see, I want. Don't you go shopping in the mall and you go, or Amazon, and you go, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. Oh, I'm double-clicking that one right there. I like that. Uh-oh, I just double-clicked something. Yikes. So, it's the lust of the flesh. That's your appetites. It's the lust of the eyes. That's the things that you see and you want. And then lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Your pride of life is different. You love to be an important person. Everybody loves to be important. But if you're lifting up yourself above the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's the pride, that's the being puffed up by who you are. And compared to the Lord Jesus, I'm nothing. I am absolutely nothing. So Demas deserted the team. He stopped the working because something about the world drew his heart away from the work. Even the Lord, when he talked about the word of God was like seed that a farmer puts in his field. And he says some of that seed gets stuck on rocky areas where it never grows. Another is on areas where it grows, but even some of it is sown in the middle of the weeds. And as it grows up, the weeds, even though it grows, the weeds choke out the fruit. So a plant that could be fruitful, the weeds choke the fruit out. And the Lord Jesus explained those weeds are the desire for being wealthy. So many Christians I know, and Christian workers too, they didn't get the money they wanted to have. And so they went after money. And you know, many of them lost the money and they lost the work they were doing from the Lord Jesus both. When we studied the book of Philippians, Paul told us he had learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. In other words, Paul learned the secret of having more than he needed and being happy about it, or having needs that were not met and still being happy about it. I think that's an amazing secret to learn. You can learn that because Paul said he learned it and he did. You know, if you are poor as dirt, is that translatable? You can be poor as dirt. Can you still talk to people about the Lord Jesus? Well, absolutely. And what's your platform there? Your platform is someone who will look at you and say, this poor person who doesn't have two pennies to rub together is happy with what they have in the Lord Jesus. And you know what that person is going to think? They're not going to say, oh, you're poor, you don't know what you're talking about. They're saying, their Jesus can make a poor person the happiest person on earth, and they're content. If Jesus can give contentment, I want that Jesus. So you see, the secret of being able to not love the world, but be content with what you don't have. And then Paul says, but I knew when I had a lot, I knew how to be content with that too. So there's greedy rich people, right? There's greedy poor people. But there's happy rich people too. Paul even talked to the people who had a lot of money in 1 Timothy. So we're in 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, Paul told the rich people, he said, take that money and use that money for the Lord and get rewarded when you see the Lord Jesus. You see, if God gives you money, he's given you money because he feels that that's what you can best use for the work. If God has made you poor as dirt and you don't have two pennies to rub together, then he's saying, wow, that's what's best for the work. And we can love it. Plus, if I'm really poor, I get to come to your house and eat. That's pretty good. All right, so Demas is a bad example, right? And the funny thing is, a lot of people deserted, but Demas deserted with his whole heart. Don't be a Demas. He's a person to avoid. Titus, what do we know about Titus? Oh, we have a book in the Bible. We have a book in the Bible that says Titus. Who is that? That's this Titus. So if you look at the book in the Bible named Titus, Titus didn't write that book. Paul wrote a whole book in the Bible to Titus. And Titus, his name means honorable. And Titus is a trustworthy leader. So Titus, the trustworthy. He was just there. His name, Titus' name, doesn't appear in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts is the history of Paul's first mission work, where the gospel goes into the whole, and Titus's name isn't there. But when Paul writes his first letter to the first church, which is the letter that goes to the Galatians, Titus' name is there, and Titus is used as a good example of the believers. The whole history book says nothing about Titus, but afterwards Paul writes a letter and he says, oh, well, by the way, when I looked for an example of someone who would be saved without works, was Titus. The second time that I remember that we meet Titus is after Paul has three missionary trips. After Paul's second missionary trip, the church took a collection to send to Jerusalem because the Jerusalem saints had a famine. And the Gentile churches were doing good. So the Gentile churches took a collection to send money. And you know who was in charge of that? Titus. And this is what amazes me. First, Titus is a great example of someone who's saved without working and without church ceremony. And now he's an example of someone who is faithful with money. He was so trustworthy. Titus the trustworthy was so responsible, you could trust him. They could send that gift to Jerusalem and not think he would steal it and not think his heart would fall in love with that money. And you know what? He did it. So first example in Galatians, second example in 2 Corinthians, I think. And one other thing. Oh, the book. Then Paul writes a book in the Bible to Titus, because Titus is sent by Paul to an island named Crete, where he's asked to help set up the leadership in the church. He trusted the trustworthy Titus to look for responsible men, to see men like himself that he could establish as elders and leaders in the church at Crete. I mean, everything about this guy is trustworthy. It's like you could give him anything to do. Say, I'll do that, I'll do that. And he'd do it well, and you could trust him. That's a good example. So let's think about, are you a Titus? Anything you're given to do, you're 100%. And when it's given to you, people don't go, oh boy, did I make a mistake giving it to Craig? Did I make a mistake giving it to fill in your name? Well, if your name means honorable and your character is honorable or trustworthy, then no one worries when they give you responsibilities. So here you've got three examples so far. I mean, I want to be like Paul. And I want to be, but this is something you can be before you reach heaven, right? You can be trustworthy for the Lord Jesus now. Good example of the believers. You handle all the stuff God's given you without falling in love with it. And you're responsible when people give you leadership things to do. You can do it. Who else do we have on our list? Oh, I love Luke. Who is Luke? What's Luke's profession? Do you remember what Luke's profession was? Luke number 4. Luke's a doctor. Luke is a doctor. In fact, Paul calls Luke the beloved physician. How many doctors do you say, I love my doctor? Well, Luke probably could have made a lot of money. But he chose to give up all that money and travel with the missionaries. He gave up that money and he helped Paul. Paul had some terrible physical conditions. He had bad eyes. He may have had other problems. And as Paul aged, Luke took care of Paul. And what else did Luke do? What books in the Bible did Luke write? Here's this really smart guy, could have been rich. He wrote 2 books in the Bible. Give me an idea, number one book to think of when you think of Luke. How do you say Luke? Yeah, something like that. He wrote the Gospel of Luke. Can you, for $1 million, if I have it, I don't have it. So, but what other book did he write? It's the follow-up book to Luke. Everything in Luke talks about what Jesus did in his life and the works that he began up to the cross. After the cross, the church is established and it spreads throughout the whole Roman Empire, the whole world. And he wrote the book about history. Does anyone want to guess Acts? So he wrote the book of Acts. It's our church history book. He wrote the story of Jesus' life. So he wrote Luke and Acts. This man did so much work, and he did it while he is on a mission team. And in doing that work, if you read the book of Luke, you can see that he was not an eyewitness. He did not travel with the Lord Jesus. He went and asked person after person after person. He did research. He was a historical researcher. He talked to Peter. He talked to Paul. He talked to the people who had seen the Lord Jesus. And he wrote a gospel that is incredibly accurate story of the life of the Lord Jesus, and then he wrote the book of history.
I'm going to call Luke the quiet worker.
He did it all without a computer, too. And he wrote huge books in the Bible. And he was a very intelligent man, but he gave his intelligence to Christ. And he worked quietly, and he worked continually. And that was his job. And so are you a quiet worker? Maybe you have great possibilities in life. But some of those possibilities you set aside just to work for the Lord Jesus. And you don't say, look what I have done. And, you know, we do not have to say, look what I have done. Because who's going to say that for us? The Lord, the righteous judge. The Lord Jesus never misses the smallest thing you do. You don't have to get recognition on earth. The Lord Jesus is coming, and he could come today. And let's take one more person. We're going to take one more person. And this is going to be pick up Mark. We'll do John Mark. This is John Mark. I want to be like him. Number 5. It says Mark, right? But his name is, full name is John and Mark. So we call him John Mark. And we're going to call him the Restored. He's a big opposite to Demas. Demas deserted and never came back. Demas began well and failed and never recovered. John Mark deserted at the beginning of his work, but later in his life is restored. And Paul says about John Mark. Give you some quotes here. After John Mark deserted, Paul and Barnabas were going to go on missionary journey number 2. And Paul said he did not want to take him, that's John Mark who deserted them, on the mission trip. And so Paul and Barnabas separated from each other, and Paul went on missionary journey number 2, and John Mark was taken by Barnabas back to the island where he had fell away from God. I don't know if this is making sense here. So missionary trip number 1, their first stop had been the island of Crete. Terrible things happened to them on the island of Crete. John Mark lost heart. When they left Crete, that island, and they sailed to the mainland, When they reached Asia Minor, John Mark said, enough of this, I'm deserting. And he went back to Jerusalem where his mother was. He went back to his mother. And so when Barnabas takes John Mark in his first step of restoration, he takes him right back to the island where John Mark's heart deserted the Lord. I like this as an example because John Mark had to go back to the place where he left the Lord. And then he had to start from there and rebuild his life. I like it because all those deserters, all the disciples had times of desertion in their life. Peter had a time of desertion. Everyone in Asia at that time, when Paul went to his first trial, he says, all in Asia deserted me. Don't let it be held against them. They all could be restored to the Lord. I imagine if Demas could have changed his heart as well. I like John Mark as an example because have you ever failed? Have you ever let your heart leave the Lord Jesus? And your heart deserted him? The Lord is so anxious to make you like John Mark, to make every one of us like John Mark. As I look at the failures in my life, and my hope is I can be restored to work. And John Mark was. Paul said of John Mark at the end of his life, he's useful to me for service. God can always make you useful. Well, we've had 5 examples so far, and that's where we're going to have to end. Actually, the clock says it's 11. Did you get up too early this morning? I got up like an hour too early this morning, but take a nap this afternoon. But think about these 5 examples. Would you like to be Paul the finisher? Faithful, beginning to end. Would you like to be Demas the deserter and have something win your heart besides the Lord Jesus? Well, don't be. Titus the trustworthy, a person that you can be asked to do anything and people will say they won't even worry about you because they know you'll do it. Can you be a Luke the quiet worker? You take all of your gifts and abilities and you quietly use them for the Lord. And you don't get any applause until the Lord Jesus appears. And you can be happy. Any one of us can be like John Mark. Because every one of us has failed. And the Lord wants to restore you to partnership with him. To be a worker. Because your life's not happy if you're not working. Here's what you missed. What kind of worker are you? Paul the finisher, Demas the deserter, Titus the trustworthy leader, Luke the quiet worker, student, Mark the restored worker. We missed Alexander. You don't want to be Alexander, trust me. Trophimus was sick. Well, you didn't have any choice, but you don't want to be sick. Priscilla and Aquila, the married team. Wow. Good examples. So which do you identify with? Because you are the next generation. And here's how Paul ends the book. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Grace is the enablement to do what God calls you to do. God, give us the grace to follow the examples of men who followed the Lord Jesus.